Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and in the studio with me this morning on this end of December Wednesday morning is Sue Benz, the state's agricultural statistician. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Amy.
Thank you for being here with me.
I'm glad you let me be on your program.
Sue, I think you're a listener of the show, and you know that I always like to start by drilling my guests a little bit about their history with agriculture and their connection to Alaska. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got here, et cetera.
Sure. I didn't actually grow up on a farm or ranch, so I have no ag background naturally.
Okay.
But I was an outdoor kind of kid, and I ended up at forestry school. Ended up working in Idaho for the Forest Service. That was my first gig with the USDA.
Okay.
And from there, it led to a job with the National Agricultural Statistics Service, which is part of the USDA in Olympia, Washington. And it kind of got out of hand from there. Spent some time in Nebraska, spent some time in Michigan, spent too long in Washington, D.C. And when the job came open here, I was like, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Here I am 17 years later.
Oh, so it's 17 years in Alaska?
Yes.
And how long with the National Agricultural Statistics Service?
Oh, just under 30 years, but 32 years with the USDA.
Wow.
All told. I don't look that old, do I?
You don't. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very good. As I was promoting the show yesterday, last night on the Facebook, I was reflecting on my connection with NAS. We'll just get that out of the way. In 2003, when I graduated from college, I applied for three jobs. One was with the BLM to fight fire, one was with the Peace Corps, and one was with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. And they offered me the most, the biggest package, although the position was in Kansas. But I did work for the agency that you now work for 2 years, and I met you during that time, and I thought to myself, as I mentioned, I was at the time dating an Alaskan, and I thought, man, someday I could end up replacing Sue when she's ready to retire. I could go work for the Alaska Ag Statistics Service office.
And you're still waiting.
I'm still waiting.
Sooner rather than later, though. But
no, I did my 2 years with the agency, and you know, life changes and things happened, and we ended up here in Alaska anyways. But I learned a lot in those 2 years that I worked for the agency, and have always been a big fan and very respectful, particularly of the work that surrounds the agricultural census, which is why we wanted to have you on the show today. So let's start with kind of the history of the census and why it started and why it still exists today. The agriculture census, to be clear, right?
Right. It started actually in 1840.
That's a long time ago. I'm not good at math.
Long before Alaska was a state. And it
right.
was just to get a handle on what was being grown and where it was being grown and those type of issues. And it's grown over the years as, you know, we added more states to the union, more censuses were done. And you can go back and look at the historical data and find numbers from 1900 for Alaska. There were 12 farms here.
Wow.
The 1910 census had 222 farms in Alaska. Huge growth.
Yeah.
And it's just going on from there. When we got into statehood, we started actually doing a more complete census, a lot more questions, and it's just grown from there till the last census in 2012 showed there were 762 farms in Alaska.
That's awesome. So producers across the state have received or will be receiving their ag census forms?
Probably should have received. Excuse me. The last grouping of them were mailed in mid-December.
Okay.
So given the mail service up here and that we have farms all over the state, some off the road system, I would expect them to have the census, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's still showing up in mailboxes.
Sure. Okay. And when are we hoping that folks will complete it by?
We ask that it's done by February 5th, 2018. But we know that's not realistic for all operations because some people would like to have their tax data available or some of their other records that they haven't quite organized ready. So we'll do data collection through May.
Okay.
And we've sent out just under 2,800 census forms to Alaskan farmers.
Oh, wow.
It's quite a few.
Yeah. Because
we're kind of fishing for farms. We know there's more out there probably than we have on our list. And we send them out to a whole group of people.
Potential farmers.
Right, exactly.
Right. So. Yeah. So, man, there's just so many questions swirling around my little head. But you said in 2012, the census showed 762 farms in Alaska. Is that
yes.
what you said?
Awesome. Yes.
Okay. And so that was 5 years ago. So the census is only done every 5 years.
Right.
Right.
And it's the most complete look right down to the county level of agriculture in the country. And I realize we don't have counties in Alaska. So we
sure.
publish at five areas.
Okay.
So we look at like the Tanana Valley is one area. Kenai Peninsula is another. Southeast is another. South Central is a fourth. And then kind of the rest of the state, which is kind of the area all around the outside. So the Seward Peninsula, the North Slope, all the way down around.
Okay.
And there are farms out there.
Absolutely there are. So let's talk about what makes a business or a farm a farm. Because that's one of the kickers, right? You said you mentioned 2,800 forms mailed out, but you're fishing for more farms. So if a person is listening and thinking, well, I'm not a farm. I just have two pigs and a horse and raise a garden for myself. I'm not a farm. Well, what is the distinguishing factor? What makes an operation a farm?
That's a great question. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the USDA definition of a farm for the census is a place or an operation that sells $1,000 or could sell $1,000 worth of product in a year. So that's okay. not a lot. So we're looking for very small farms, medium-sized farms, large farms. And I guess some of the really small people might not consider themselves to be a farm.
Yeah.
But if you're selling agricultural products, whether it's eggs or honey or pork
yeah.
or vegetables, we'd like you to fill out the form if you get one.
If your sales equaled more than $1,000 last year or could have, like explain that part a little bit. So maybe I sold $700 worth of vegetables out of my garden, but I'm thinking about expanding next year. Would you want me to fill out the form or not?
Sure. We'll yep. keep you on your list, on our list.
Okay.
You may or may not count as a farm in 2017, depending on what else you have going on in your operation. But sometimes people don't actually sell the product that they're raising. So you could have hay, for instance, and maybe you weren't selling it this year. You were going to keep it for yourself.
Sure.
Or so there's lots of different reasons why you might not actually have sales, but you could sell products.
Right. Okay. So to be safe, fill out the form. And your data may or may not be used on your end, right?
Right.
Or yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, we'll determine whether you're a farm or not by the definition.
Okay.
But most people probably who are selling some type of thing are doing probably $1,000. That's not a lot of product.
No, especially up here.
Exactly, because the cost of producing, so the cost of items can be a little bit higher up here than other places.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised when you add it all up if you're doing, because nobody does just one thing farming up here. No one's just growing product X. They've
right.
all got several irons in the fire. If
yeah.
you will. Then it adds up pretty quick.
Yeah. So paper forms mailed out, I assume, and some people hate paper forms. Can they fill out their form online?
They can.
Okay.
We actually, for the first time, just sent out a letter, I think it was the beginning of December, to several people, or not several, but hundreds of people, just asking them to fill it out online. They didn't actually get a paper form.
Oh, okay.
And those are people we know who have done surveys online before.
Okay.
Or who have a good broadband connection, and we would know that from them filling out the census in 2012. And then some of the people, we don't even know if they're farming. They got just a letter asking
okay.
to fill it out online. And then we mailed out paper forms to most of the farms up here. And they can still go online and fill the form out.
Yeah.
And it's a quick, easy, because it skips around. If you say, no, I don't have livestock, then it doesn't ask you livestock questions.
Okay.
So, and
okay.
if you filled it out last time online, this instrument is so much nicer to use.
Okay.
It works now on your computer, on your tablet, on your smartphone.
Oh, nice.
So you can do it from anywhere.
Lots of options.
Lots of options. And it's quick. It's cheaper for everyone.
If you fill it out online.
If you fill it out online, less people touching it. And then we won't follow up if you fill it out and send it in.
Ooh.
Because we will, later in the spring, start calling people.
Right.
Maybe I'll do some farm visits if I need to.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So when I started with Kansas Ag Statistics in 2003, so the census had been done in 2002, mm-hmm. so we were still reviewing data, and there's what 40 some thousand farms in Kansas, and so there were it seemed like that many paper forms that I remember one of my jobs just for days and days and days was sorting those forms by number. So yes, I am sure the agency appreciates it immensely when people fill out a digital form versus a paper form.
Right. And we've come a long way since then.
Yeah.
Now, all our forms go to our processing center in Indiana.
Okay.
So I don't see paper forms anymore.
Oh, really?
And they're all scanned and
yeah.
keyed or and put into the computer, and then I just see the aggregated data. I can see a copy of the form online, so it's all electronic. So, yeah, not so much sorting anymore.
Although I have to say I enjoyed it immensely, but after like 2 weeks of doing that, I had to get glasses because my eyes were so tired. It was a temporary thing, but anyways, I want to remind folks that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning in the studio with me is Sue Benz, the state's only agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, and we are chatting about the census. So folks should have got their form in the mail or a letter in the mail indicating where they could go online to fill out the form. But if they maybe didn't get the letter and they didn't get a paper form, where can they go online to find more information?
Well, sure. Excuse me. USDA NASS website.
Okay.
Is you just Google it, or it's www.nass.usda.gov.
Okay.
And you can certainly call me.
Okay.
My number is 745-4272. Rings to the handy cell phone, so I'm usually answer the phone. There's also a 1-800 number, Ag Census.
Okay.
And you can call there as well. You'd have to probably go to the website to get the exact numbers.
Yeah.
And they'll help you there and get you a form or get you signed up.
Okay. Or answer questions potentially about whether because I think there's probably, what I have heard is one of the biggest confusing factors is whether they should be filling out the census or not. Am I a farm or am I not a farm? So I assume they can get some of those questions answered.
Right. And I would say when in doubt, just send it in.
Yeah,
send it in. If it doesn't qualify as a farm, maybe in 2017, maybe it will next time. And we had that happen in 2012 because that's right around when all the high tunnels were coming on.
Oh, sure.
So people might have had the high tunnel and they were investing in agriculture, but they hadn't really sold anything or really grown anything.
Okay.
So those people we kept on our list, and now they will show up again in 2017, and they can report their vegetables or their flowers or whatever it is they're growing under their high tunnel.
Perfect.
And they're there.
Yeah.
And it's less fuss and muss building a list. And
yeah. So let's talk about how the data is used, because this is another area where I think there's a little bit of confusion and sometimes some skepticism, but certainly from my end of the spectrum, from working for the State Department of Agriculture for 10 years and even the work that I do now with Farmland Trust, we are so reliant on this data. But some people still, they get scared about giving their data to the federal government, or they're just ambivalent, or they just think they don't need to participate. So let's talk about how the data is used to dispel some of those issues. What happens with the data? Well, where does it go?
Yeah, well, like I said, when the form is sent in, it goes to our processing center in Indiana, and it's compiled, put into the computer, and when we publish the data, it's all been summarized.
Sure.
And we make sure that we're not publishing any one person's individual data, because there may be just one guy growing a certain product.
Sure.
So we won't publish any acres or any values on that crop. The count of one is not really confidential, but anything else about that operation would not be published.
Okay.
Because we don't want to publish individual people's data. So we have some pretty strict confidentiality rules. So that's always people's concern.
Sure.
That their data won't be confidential.
Yeah.
But it is. And so the data is published at the county level, like I said, and then the data is available there for whoever wants to use it. And I'm actually surprised at the number of calls I get looking for data, and I refer people back to the census because it's the most complete set of data out there. And I get calls from all over the map, people looking to start ag businesses here in Alaska.
Yep.
People looking to write grants, might be from a soil and water conservation district or for your organization, Farmland Trust. Obviously, the government uses the data.
Right.
I have five pages of how the USDA alone uses NASS data and the different programs. So it does go into the Farm Bill.
Yes.
And that's a big thing all across the country. People here who participate in different programs through the Farm Service Agency, through Rural Development, through NRCS. Those are all USDA agencies that are using NASS data to administer their programs, to justify their programs.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money that comes back from the USDA. Maybe it's through the state of Alaska or through those agencies I just mentioned that's using NASS data as a basis for administering their programs or giving out grants. So a good example is the Division of Ag gets USDA grant money passed through to them that come on to Alaska farmers, especially crop block grants, value-added grants.
Yep, value-added, beginning farmer-rancher development, At Alaska Farmland Trust, we specifically benefit from the Rural Business Development Grant and the ACEP, the Agriculture Conservation Easement Program. The money that we use to protect farms is based on, I mean, we're allocated that amount of money based on NAST data, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And because it's the only source out there. It's the only count of farms, official U.S. government or not, because no one else in the state does this type of work.
No.
So when anyone wants to know what's going on with potatoes or what's going on with barley or are we really growing that much vegetable-wise in the state,
right.
You know, I can just pull out the census book and say, hey,
here you go.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And it also supports the new USDA programs that are going on. Like
right.
you said, the farmer and rancher, that's a new initiative within USDA, as well as veteran farmers. That's another new big issue. And there are questions on the census this time about veterans farming.
Yeah.
There's always questions about whether you're, how long you've been farming.
Yep.
And that decides who's a new farmer or not.
Right.
There's, you know, underserved groups have special programs within the USDA.
Yep.
And that's data can come from the census as well, as well as your traditional production data. How many acres of hay did you cut and what was the production and what were your costs to grow that? And how many chickens do you have? And
right.
reindeer. Muskox.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have a huge and vast and very diverse amount of agriculture that we do in the state.
It Absolutely.
Just kind of blew my mind away when I came up here.
Yeah.
And saw everything that's growing up here and all the animals that are being produced.
Right.
And distributed. So.
Yeah. And that's one of the beautiful things about the census, too, is it's the ability to compare what we do in Alaska to other states, because the same questions are being asked across the country. And so we can compare ourselves to other states, which I always find super fun to do.
True. And there are some fun facts, if you will. I mean, yeah. I was at the Farm Bureau and I did a presentation, and we have a lot of value-added work going on here with our agricultural products, you know, top 10 in the nation, if you will. Computer usage is very high up here on our farms.
Oh, really?
And it does lead the nation.
Yeah.
Or it did during the 2012
wow.
census. There's other... You know, the percent of women farming up here is high, in the 30% or higher.
Okay.
So that's nationally, that's fairly high.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of the fun facts.
Yeah.
And actually, to me, the funnest fact, since I'm the math geek, is Alaska last time in 2012 had the highest response rate to the census.
Really?
They did.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I would have thought that.
Yeah. The other, you know, when I worked at the Division of Agriculture, one of the areas that we saw the most rapid growth in was farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And I would constantly be quoting those numbers about, you know, how many markets there were in 2005 compared to how many markets there were, you know, whatever year it was. And that kind of data is also being tracked by NAS and is also reflected in, when we talk about government programs again, the Alaska Farmers Market Association just got new money from the Farmers Market Promotion Program, another USDA program, that's going to help them kind of support and enhance farmers markets across the state. And again, that money is based on census data, ag data, that, you know, thankfully people are reporting. And I'm super excited that we had such a good response rate last
year. Yeah, me too.
That's really good.
One other use of the data I should mention is, was it just a couple months ago, there was this... sheep and goat issues.
Yes, the sheep and goat issue.
And I talked to the state vet, Bob Gerlach, several times, and he was looking for data to back up how many sheep and goats there were in the state and approximately where they were located. And he could use that in the program he put together to help do testing.
Perfect.
To see if that really was an issue. And I believe that it's been tabled for now.
Yeah.
But that's just another use of the census data that, you know, maybe people wouldn't think of. Because there are smaller farms, generally, a lot of people with sheep and goats, and those people are a little bit more leery or don't quite understand why they should be responding. But
Absolutely.
I think that's a great example of why that data was useful, because without it...
There's no other defensible data out there.
True.
Right?
True.
I mean, as you've mentioned, there's no one else gathering this kind of information, and certainly not in a statistically defensible way that has any merit. But this data has a lot of merit.
Yes, it does. It's... You know, we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
We like to say George Washington was the first crop reporter. But certainly we've been doing it in Alaska since statehood, 1959, when we opened an office.
Yeah.
There. So we're knowledgeable about what's going on. We try to keep up with the trends. We try to make sure that the census and all the survey work that we do has some value to agriculture here.
Yeah.
And it is important that people realize there is ag here.
Absolutely.
And that it's growing.
Yeah.
Not every state in the nation is growing.
Right.
Farm number far-wise. And we were up 11%, I think, from 2012 or from 2007 to 2012.
Very good.
So up almost 50% since the 90s.
That's huge.
So it is. And different sectors of agriculture are growing.
Right.
It'll be fun to see on the census what's truly new or what the new trends are going to be. I mean, we can all look out there and maybe you won't agree, but I think there'll be more farms.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think there will be too. Yeah.
More vegetable growers.
Yeah.
Hydroponics is really exciting.
Right.
There's a lot more small livestock.
Yes. Yep.
Going on right now.
Number of animals could increase even. I mean, maybe not in particular sectors like dairy cows or things, but maybe some of the other animal sectors will go up. Another reason that people think that they don't want to report the data is because they think at some level it could be tied back to their income or their tax data or something like that. Can you speak to that about how it's a completely different?
Sure. We operate under different titles and public laws than all the other USDA agencies. So we don't give our data or the farmer's data back to anyone.
Right.
When we have it, it sits in our computers and then it's gone.
Right.
We don't share it with the IRS or even with the Division of Ag when they are looking to mail out things to farmers who have hogs. We can't share our even list of name and addresses, let alone the individual data that's, you know, what they harvested or what they sold.
Right.
So none of that is leaving our office. So
And when you say, you know, we don't share, it's, you know, we don't, I guess I would add the emphasis that you can't.
Like, it's illegal.
It's illegal for the Ag Statistics Service to share the data, even when it's asked for by the court system, right?
Right. We have been taken to court, Freedom of Information Acts and all that type of stuff, and we have never had to because of the way the laws are written and the titles are written. That's not what we do. That's not how we operate.
Right.
It's not true of every USDA agency, but that's true of NASA.
And I think that probably speaks to why you guys have been around so long and successfully completing the census and other surveys for so long, because because you have that reputation for not sharing the data and not doing things with it that you're not supposed to do, right?
Right. And we've been at it a long time, and we have a lot of boots on the ground in other states. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a lot of field work. We have field enumerators that go out here. That's pretty much me.
Yeah.
So we do a lot more stuff on the phone. Alaska's kind of a big place. So,
right.
But it helps that people know your agency and know who the representative is and know the people who collect the data.
Yeah.
And that you can trust.
Build a little bit of trust.
There you go. Because I think that's true. That's why I'm at every farm conference that I can be at. I try to hit the farmers markets and introduce myself in the summertime. So you can put a name to a face.
Yeah.
And it helps. I think we're all human and like that.
Right. Well, and it helps too that you've been here for 17 years. That helps, right? Because in Alaska, you're not an Alaskan or can't be trusted or whatever for how many winters, I don't know, but I'd say you're probably getting close.
No, and Alaska is my home. I've lived a lot of different places in this country, and you have a sense of place when you move someplace.
Yeah.
And
this is your place.
This is my place.
You're not going anywhere.
I acquired land and dogs and a husband and stepkids, and I'm not going anywhere.
Good to know. One last reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio, and I'm your host, Amy Pettit. In the studio with me this morning is Sue Benz, and we are talking about the upcoming or current 2017 agricultural census. And Sue, we're quickly approaching the last segment of the show. So we've talked about why producers should fill out the form and where they can go to get it, and we've talked about how the data is used. What other important points are there about this census? What else can we remind people about? I'm really glad you brought up the sheep and goat thing, because as I was going through bullets in my head about, you know, important points to remind listeners, because we want to speak mostly to the skeptics, right? And the people that think that they shouldn't fill out the form. And that was one of the points that I was thinking of, that when Dr. Gerlach was looking for funding to do the tests and prove how many sheep there were and how little disease there were, I thought, man, I bet he used NAS data.
And he did.
Yeah.
There were several emails and a couple phone calls.
And that will continue, although the Wild Sheep Foundation has tabled, or the Board of Game has tabled the issue. They haven't taken it off the table. It's not become a non-issue yet. So we still need to become diligent or be diligent. And I think if you are a sheep and goat producer out there and you didn't get a form, you should call Sue or you should go online and fill out a form because we need to prove what's really happening in Alaska. Tell the story yourself so that someone's not telling it for you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what the next issue is going to be.
Right.
And the next time someone will need data.
Yeah.
About something in particular. And
right.
Literally the only source a lot of times is the census data.
Absolutely.
And we only do it every 5 years.
Yeah. And it's not that painful. I mean, even when it was a 36-page form.
It's only 24 this
oh,
year.
Oh, good.
But most people, again, even though they're doing diverse things.
You're not filling out all 24 pages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it does take time. Maybe you can fill it out off the top of your head because your estimate's better than mine. Some people actually pull out their records.
Yeah.
But it depends on the complexity of your operation. And like I said, 80% plus response rate last time. That was
that's
pretty
great.
Amazing. That,
yeah.
There's a lot for people in Alaska who must think that agriculture does matter.
It
and getting
does.
That story out.
Yeah.
Because no one knows Alaska better than Alaskan
farmers
and ranchers.
Yeah. Very good. They must think that agriculture does matter. That's like a little pun
right.
for our Ag Matters radio show.
We say ag counts. That's our little tagline.
Yep. So. Ag counts. It does. It does. So let's give folks some website data and your contact information one more time in case they are they didn't get a letter or they haven't received a paper form yet. Where can they go to find out more information? Or if they're just wanting to look at more Alaska ag data.
Sure. The website is www.nass.usda.gov. And there's a website just for Alaska, so you can either click on the little map or do a little search for Alaska. And my contact information will certainly be there. But,
sure.
But my phone number is 745-4272 here in Alaska. I have an email as well that you can pick up off the website. There's a 1-800 number that you can call if it's after hours or you can't get a hold of anyone else. And that's on the actual census form. So if you have trouble when you have the form and you have questions, you're certainly welcome to call that. We encourage people to ask questions and get in touch with us if they need to.
Yeah.
And please send it back early. That way it'll save you getting a phone call or a farm visit maybe as well.
Right, right. I saw a post on social media about that, about, oh, this is mandatory. You know, did you know that this filling out this form is, you know, it's against the law not to fill it out or something like that. And there was some negative comments around that. And I just thought, well, yeah, it is mandatory and we want people to fill it out. Sue will call and maybe come visit you, you know, but nobody's going to get thrown in jail for not filling it out.
No,
but
we hope people see the worth of filling it out.
Absolutely.
And that we have never, to be perfectly honest, sent anyone to jail for not filling it out.
All right. Well, Sue, thanks so much for being on the show with me this morning and chatting about the Ag Census. I particularly really look forward to seeing the new numbers when they are published.
They should be out in February of 2019, if not earlier.
Okay.
And thank you, Amy, for having me on and for doing the show. I think it's a great addition to the agricultural sector.
All right. Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit. Of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.